Morning.
Is there anyone out there?
I don't know.
Good morning. Hey, there are people.
There.
You are alive. Amen. All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We'll open up in prayer, and then we'll go into worship. Jesus, we thank you so much that we can come together in your name, worship you, and learn more about you. Pray that you'd be with us this morning, as you always are, and draw us nearer to yourself. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and stand with us, and we'll start with Rock of Ages. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved, proving itself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like God. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. There's no rock, there's no God like God. There's no rock, there's no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved. To be faithful and true. There's no rock, there's no God like God. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. There's no rock, there's no God like us. There's no rock, there's no God like us. There's no rock, there's no God like us. Amen. Give him praise. This next song, I was telling the worship team earlier, it's not always been my favorite song. But we're doing it anyway because God told me to. But the reason that I've always had a hard time with this song, even though it's a fun song and it really gets you excited, is that the chorus is so repetitive. And as I was thinking about it, I was looking and just thinking, man, how many times do we have to say, yes, Lord? Yeah, how many times do we have to say, yes, Lord? Every day, as Pastor said earlier. Every day, all the time, when we are weighed down by sorrow, when we are burdened with guilt and shame, when we are weakened by sickness, or brought to our knees in pain, we say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes. We say, yes, Lord. And it reminded me of a passage that Pastor preached on a few weeks ago. I'll write the reference down, but I got it here in front of me. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yes.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, not angels and not demons, nothing happening right now and nothing that will ever happen in the future, no rulers, no politicians, no mountains, no oceans, nothing, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a whole lot of no's in there, but the most important thing in this song is yes, Lord. When we let him be God in our lives, things change. We change. We're no longer crushed. We're no longer persecuted or abandoned. We have his promise, his joy that becomes our strength. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it. Thank you.
laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Saying yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord, this morning.
Hallelujah. One of the things we do to say yes is giving. And so I'm going to say a prayer for our giving time. Some of you have already given. You're using the online app, and we're appreciating that, especially last week when we didn't actually meet here in our building. We were able to meet together with two other churches and just celebrate ministry to children and young people. But this week, we have that privilege to once again give in person. And so let's just take time to give thanks and give thanks to God for the blessing it is to give. And we'll also later on in the service have an opportunity to bless a missionary. And hopefully that will just further the kingdom of God in a wonderful way. Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to give, to be able to sacrifice some of what we have earned and put it into your hands and just see what you can do with it. We're thankful that we can give a tithe. It's our commitment to do that every month. But Lord, sometimes we're pressed and encouraged to even go above that. And we're able to see miraculous and wondrous things. Thank you for that. I just pray your blessing on each and every one that's able to give today, who's already given and will give this week. And we just give you thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen. During the next song, you're welcome to give in the offering as we sing.
God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, faithful promises. from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah, your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will.
Faithfulness. Thank you so much. You are my shepherd, I have no needs. You lead me by peaceful streams, and you refresh my life. You hold my hand and you
You guide my steps. I could walk through the valley of death, and I won't be afraid, because you are in control. You are in control. You are in control, because you are in control. You are my shepherd, I have no need. You lead me by peaceful streams, and
thinking about this song earlier this week, this next one.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's this line, it's always kind of hit me weird, and it says, cause the rage in me to still. And I was like, what's that about? This song is about stilling the storms and stilling all these other things. What's this about the rage in me? But so many things in this world going on, whether it's national politics or state stuff, or even just in our own hometown or neighbor, who knows, that can cause us to get all wound up and all out of sorts over things that should never be. There's that rage in us that likes to build, that humanity that likes to rear its ugly head. God says, no, just take my peace. It's enough for you. Because I'm in control. Not me. God is in control.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Peace. Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name, oh. still. Call the sea to still. The rage of me to fill. Every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise, oh Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness. Shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Silence fear, oh Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
We can put our hope and trust in Him. There's nothing to fear in this world. when you put your hope in him. He brings that peace which passes understanding.
Yes.
That means, unfortunately, that the circumstance may not change. And yet, in spite of it, there's peace. It makes no sense. But that's what happens when your hope is in him. There's joy when happiness is a long ways away. Doesn't seem to add up, and yet it's true. It's joy unspeakable, meaning there's no words. What makes it so? It's full of glory.
Yes.
Hope. There's no hope in this world, but there is hope in the next life, eternal life with God through Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
We put so much into this day, into this material, into this thing on this earth, and ignore forever. And we find ourselves struggling, fearful, miserable. But when we put our hope in him, suddenly life becomes meaningful. Hope is realized. Joy is long-lasting.
Yes.
Let me pray with you as we move on in our service to inspiration and encouragement. But let's focus one more time upon him.
Yes.
And allow him to do that work in our hearts, whether you're here in person or online. We need to put our hope where it belongs, so that all these things that we say in song are true.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for loving us.
Praise.
Thank you for creating us with the purpose, the desire to pour out your love. It's the reason why we're here.
Yes.
My greatest challenge in this world, and there's many challenges, but the greatest one of all is to love you back.
Thank you.
After having received your love. I need to receive it, and then I can give it. Help me to continue to receive the love you've given. Help us all to receive that love that you pour out to us, so that everything else falls into the proper place. As we put our hope in you, Lord, may we find peace. May we find that joy. May we find that security to know it's okay. Everything's going to be just fine. As we walk with you through the journey, through the challenge, through the circumstance. I just pray your blessing on each and every one as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Phone available for Adrian as she gets ready to come. And just in a few minutes, just wanted to highlight a few announcements. The big one for this week that I want to make sure everybody's aware of, especially those that are helping, is this is our first week of dinner church. We're excited to be able to do a meal with our community and to share in song, music, and word in a very simple and intimate way around the dinner table. And so make sure for those of you who are part of that to be at the Jefferson School at the proper time for your involvement. If you're setting up, make sure you're there plenty early for that. If you're part of the kitchen crew, you know your place. And certainly we all want to be there before 6 o'clock because we start serving at 6. So excited about that and hoping and praying for a good turnout for that. So other things are there in your bulletin. I'm just trying to think. I know I have one in my office that I was supposed to bring out here, but I didn't. Anything I should shout it out? Something really big going on? Yes. Okay, ladies have a sign-up sheet. Awesome. Make sure you take part in that. Yes. Oh. Total knee replacement. Wow. We'll be praying for you, Scott. $6 million man, bionic man. I'll do the sound effects when you walk. All the old people are laughing. If you don't know what that's about, you'll have to look it up. Go to YouTube. I'm sure it's there. Lee Majors, man. He was the man. All right. Anything else I should shout out? We're good? All right. Make sure you pay attention. We are contemplating this. It's probably going to happen. I don't know if it's really up for discussion, but there is a real good possibility that your bulletin will be your phone. Yeah. Look at that. Look at all those wonderful reactions. So we have this wonderful app that we're making use of that we pay for, and we're going to possibly eliminate some extra cost that's not needed because we double and triple do things. And if you have a smartphone, which just about everybody does, you have the capability of finding everything that's going on just by opening that thing up and looking. And so we could save print costs and paper costs and et cetera, et cetera. So consider that, and I will look for some reactions as life goes on. But just so you know, there's a real good chance that we're going to eliminate the bulletin and just have it on your phone. So be aware. Be prepared. Brace yourself. Technology, it's great. Now that I made a bunch of enemies, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to serve you, for the ministries that are happening. We're thankful for Sunday school that started today and for the kids' ministries, the youth ministries that are growing. We're thankful for dinner church, and we don't know what to expect until it happens. But Lord, we're thankful and trusting in you for the ministry to flourish, that people that won't ever come here may come there and be a part of a very great setting to talk about you. May it be something that changes hearts and lives for all of eternity. Lead us and guide us, we pray. And Lord, we're thankful that we can open our hearts to the mission that is before us. And we bless Adrian for being here and just ask for your anointing to be upon her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Adrian, would you come? Used to be Dyke, and now it is not Dyke. It is Swanson. And we have to do some investigation to see if we're related now. So we'll see. But Adrian, come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Kids can be dismissed for kids' church. Thank you.
Is this about the right height? And you can grab it, whatever you want to do.
Well, first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you to Pastor for allowing me to come and to share with you guys an update, because you guys have been with me from the beginning. You guys have been with me in the prayers. And so I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to you guys for that. And some of you might not know who I am. So as Pastor said, I used to be Adrian Dyke. Now I'm Adrian Swanson. I just got married 3 months ago, I think it is now. But anyways, I've been serving in Belgium for the last few years. I'm one of Montana's fully appointed missionaries there. And I work with university students. And so the ministry that I work with is called SFC, or Students for Christ. It's very similar to what we have here in the States, which is Chi Alpha. So we go out onto university campuses and tell people about Christ. You can't hear me? Are we good? Is that better? Can you hear me now? That's better? Okay. I know I'm extremely soft-spoken, so I apologize. So, anyways, with the country of Belgium where I've been serving, It's a country that is in desperate need to hear the gospel, very similar to that of the country of France where I had been before. Now, this country, only 1.5% know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so what that means is that many will never even have a friend that knows Christ. And this is a country where there are these magnificent cathedrals that are scattered throughout the countryside and in the different cities. And they were built centuries ago to show their love, their dedication to who God is. And it was just their way of expressing their love to God. Unfortunately now, many of the people there in Belgium have no idea, they have no concept of that God, of the God that we serve. And they walk amongst these wonderful cathedrals, and they just have no idea. And in that country, the mindset is more or less either agnostic or atheist. And they look to the self to determine what is right and wrong. They look to themselves to find that strength to make it throughout life. And as one of my dear friends over there very beautifully said one day, we were walking together, and she gave herself this label a year previously. She goes, "I'm a secular agnostic." That's just blatantly what she said she was one day as we were walking. And about a year later, in the midst of COVID, she looked at me and she goes, "I am realizing that those who have a faith, they have compassion. They have a grounding in life." And she said all this because she went on to say, she goes, "I'm feeling so lost," because she realized that the belief system that she was holding on to, there was no hope in that. There was no assurance in it. And my husband, Sean, and I were extremely excited because we're hoping to return back to Europe in winter of 2022 is the hope. And we'll continue to work with university students, and he will also be working in construction because that is his gifting and abilities. And he's still working full-time. That's why he's not with us here this morning. But we're super excited for this new chapter to be going together. And I do want to apologize, the prayer cards out there. The new prayer cards come next week. The mailing system. Anyways, so I apologize. It's my old prayer cards with the old last name. But I do have a sign-up letter, a sign-up thing there for newsletters if you want to be a part of the quarterly newsletter that we send out. And after the service, I'll be out there in the foyer and would love to just sit and chat with you and get to know you guys more. So at this time, I have a short video that I'd love to share with you guys because there's nothing like photos, pictures. They speak a thousand words. And so this has been the last few years there in Brussels, Belgium.
Watching the time just ticking, clock runs around, days in and out, can't really call it living. Somewhere I let light go dark, but here's where my new story starts. Take my life and let it be, set on fire for all to see. Break me down, build me up again. Like heaven on earth, like heaven on earth. I wanna
like heaven on earth. Like heaven on earth. Help me move when I should move. Help me rest when I should rest. Help me give what I should give. All of me, nothing less. Help me speak your grace and truth. Help me fight for those who came. Help me love the way you love. Never holding nothing back. Take my life.
So that's just a little glimpse into the last few years. But this morning, I would love to share with you guys some stories of what God is doing there in Belgium amongst the university students, while also sharing with you guys from the Word. So let us just begin with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would open up our hearts, that you would help us to hear what you want us to hear this morning, Lord, that we would take to heart the words that you have given us and the lessons that we need to learn, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I get started, on the PowerPoint, there is a picture of my husband, so you know what he looks like since he couldn't be with me this time. So soon it will come up, and it's just a picture of us at our wedding day, and just thankful to the Lord that I now have somebody to go overseas with and to minister with. So today's sermon is going to be called Change of Plans. And we will be looking at an event that takes place in the book of Acts. Now, Acts is a book that tells us the early history of the church, of what happened. And this particular event that we're going to look at, this story that is written down for us, it happens during Paul's second missionary journey. And it describes an event where Paul, he has this longing, he has this desire to go into a certain area and to spread the gospel there. And that area is what we call today Asia Minor. And the story shows us how he had this desire, but the Lord said, nope, not yet. God has a timing. He had a different plan for Paul at that period of time. And the story is a great reminder of us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be open to his leading. And this reminder is for all of us, no matter if we've been with the Lord for a short period of time, to many decades. So let's look at Acts 16, 6 through 10. And the verse will also be on the screen too. So it says in Acts 16, 6 through 10. And I should preference this also. I have been working in a French environment, so sometimes my English pronunciation is a little bit off. I apologize ahead of time. My husband does have some pretty funny stories of, I write the grocery list now half in French and half in English, and he's like, what is this? For me, sometimes it's still easier just to deal with the French. So I apologize if I say some of the towns in this story incorrectly. I did practice, but can't promise. It says in Acts 16, 6 through 10, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So as I was studying this story that took place, I saw really two lessons that we can take away from it this morning. And the first one is to be open to the leading of the Spirit. Throughout this whole passage, we see Paul kept his heart open to the Spirit. We see how he was wanting to go to a certain area, but listened when the Spirit told him no, when the Spirit restricted him from doing that. And this restriction actually took place more than once. So let's relook at the different verses really quickly and see how many times this actually took place. So we know that he and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia. So that's the first one. And then when they went to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So that's two times the Spirit saying no. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And it was there at Troas that he was given that vision. So we see at least two times Paul had to deal with this no, with the Spirit saying, nope, not yet. You can't go here yet. And I think many times we can just kind of gloss over this because we know the end story. We know that the Lord gives him this vision. But when we put ourselves actually in what is taking place there, it would be so easy, I think, in many, you know, like many times when the Lord says no, we can just sit down and be like, but why? And we get discouraged. But Paul kept pressing on. He kept going where the Spirit was leading him. And many times in our lives, we can look at a leading or a direction from the Spirit as only as the yes. That's the one that we love. When the Lord says, yes, you can go and do this. But many times we need to remember that with the Spirit leading us, with God giving us an answer that we're seeking, it can be a wait, or it can actually be a no. That is an answer. No is an answer. And it's not one that we enjoy receiving. I'll be the first one to admit that. I'd rather have yes than no, honestly. And as one commentator says in regards to this story, he says, however, it is comforting to know that even the apostles weren't always clear as to God's will for their ministries. God planned for the message to get there just at a different time. And this story is something I can relate to very vividly in my own life and ministry. Some of you who might remember me from the last time I came through, I talked about going to France. I really felt like the Lord was leading me back to that country after already serving there for a few years. But God had a different plan. You know, I was supposed to, we had, my leadership and I, we had talked about I would go to a particular town, launch a brand new SFC in that town, and about a month or so before I was supposed to take off, I received in the mail from the French consulate a no, a denial of a visa request I had requested a few months previous. And as I received that, I was just utterly shocked and extremely disappointed of like, and all these questions were running through my head of why. I've already lived there. You already know I'm not a criminal. This just doesn't make any sense. But as Pastor was saying this morning during worship, God can give us a peace, and that's exactly what he did to me. Is in the midst of the tears and the questions, there was a peace that settled in my heart that I know only could have come from the Lord. So I immediately called my leaders and said, what in the world do I do? The French government just said I cannot enter their country. And so we discussed, and they said, okay, go to Belgium. They speak French there, though I'd like to say it's a little bit different French, but it's still French. But they speak French there, so go there. Finish your French language school that you need to finish and help out with an SFC up there. And then in a year, reapply. I was like, okay, we can do that. And so I flew off in January of 2019 because it does take a little bit of time applying for different visas. And I landed there. And within a few months, you know, we continued that dialogue. Okay, what does it look like to reapply for a visa after being denied? And what does all the logistics look like? And we kept praying about it. And after a few months, we just really felt the sense of the Lord saying, no, you need to stay here in Belgium. And so that's what I did. I stayed there, and I can't remember if it was right before that or right after. I want to say it might have been a little bit after that. The door to the city where I was supposed to launch that new group, it actually closed. There was no longer that opportunity there. And so God really knew what was best. Not only that, he protected me in a personal way because, as we all are very well aware of, COVID hit in 2020. And I was there in Brussels as it hit. Europe had extremely strict restrictions. I mean, very, very strict, because you're living in cities of thousands upon thousands. And so just to give you a little glimpse into what we were all facing over there is our first lockdown that we faced there in Belgium, which was in March. It was 4 weeks before I saw a person I knew face to face. And I live by myself in this tiny apartment. Thank the Lord, there's video chats and stuff like that, but there's nothing like being able to see a friend face to face. And so the Lord protected me by having me stay in Belgium because I had built these friendships. I had the opportunity to build these relationships with these students and having dear friends nearby. And for example, I have a dear friend, she's a Belgian, and her and I had actually worked together in France previously, so we had already known each other for somewhere around 6 years at that time. And by me staying there in Brussels, she was able to look out for me because I had no family. And with how restrictive even our very movement was, she was there for me, always checking in, making sure I was doing okay. And if I had not listened and tried to push my way through by going back to France, I would have landed in that city literally 2 months before the pandemic would have hit. And so the Lord protected me in keeping me around people who I know and who I love. But not only that, not only did he protect me personally, but he had a wonderful plan in that I ended up being asked to help start a new SFC group there in Brussels, Belgium. And the vision for Brussels with SFC is to see a student group on each campus. And Brussels is a very unique city. Not only is it the capital of Belgium, the center of the EU, so there's just tons of things going on in that city, but there's multiple university campuses in one city, where most of the time you have maybe one university per city. And so the vision has always been to see an SFC group on each campus because each campus really has its own needs, its own little quirks. And so I ended up being asked to help co-lead this group, and it started smack dab in the middle of the pandemic in September of 2020. And this particular campus, it dealt with medical students and engineers. God has a funny sense of humor because here we are starting a new group with students who are on the front lines. They are serving in the ER. They're working in the COVID wards. And here we're able to help minister to them. I will admit, at the very beginning, my own brain, the Adrian brain, was like, should we be doing this? We're kind of in a crazy time of life. The restrictions were making it to where most of the time students can't even be on campus. And so how are you supposed to start a new group when you can't even meet the students is my way of thinking. But the Lord did it, and his hand was in it. And I can see that because the group is still going. It survived an entire year of mostly just meeting on Zoom. And not only that, there was about a month period to where we could actually meet face-to-face in homes. And we had two girls, after a small group, came up to I and my co-leader and said, we have been praying for something like this to be started for years on our campus. It just touched my heart, and I immediately said, okay, Lord, sorry for my doubts. You know, but when he's in the midst of it, it will continue to grow and he will keep it in his hand in safety. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God that hears the prayers. And just like with Paul, by going to Macedonia, he was able to start the church in Philippi. The church, that church you get to read about in the book of the Philippians. And Paul just, you know, was just telling the Philippians how much of a blessing they were to him and his ministry. And we see a little glimpse of this in Philippians 4:15. It says, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving except you only." And what is interesting is when you study the book of Philippians, it wasn't really this letter that was written to them. It wasn't really written to deal with a major church issue like we see in 1 and 2 Corinthians. You know, that church was just really going through it. But Philippians, he dealt with some issues, but it was mostly written to tell of his great love that he had for the church, of how grateful he was for them. So this morning, we can begin to ask ourselves just a few questions of, has there been situations lately in your life where you're feeling the leading of the Spirit to go, to wait, or is he in fact telling you a no? And it can be with anything in life, with a job position, with moving to a different location, many different things. And this naturally leads us to the second lesson that we see out of this story from Paul. And that it deals with the state of our hearts. We see that Paul kept his spiritual heart tender despite being kept from where he thought he should go and spread the good news. We know that he kept his heart tender because he heard from God through a vision of the man from Macedonia calling. He was begging him, "Come here." It also says not only did he receive that vision, but he was obedient, because it says he got up at once to go. And I'm not saying, as I'm up here, I'm not saying change of plans is easy, that we should just happily, you know, that it's just easy to just happily skip along and go to those different curves that are sent us. I'll be honest, I'm a person that I love A to B, and there's this straight line. But let me tell you, that rarely ever happens. You know, but naturally for me, that's how I like life. But that doesn't always happen. And for Paul, if we think about back in his time period, not only was he told no, he couldn't go to these certain places, but there was also a logistical aspect to it, in that he couldn't just jump in a car or a plane and head to the next destination. We see his faithfulness by continuing to press on, by changing the locations, because it wouldn't have been easy to have done that change. It would have taken time. And, you know, we just need to remember God is sovereign and that he knows what is best at that moment. And like I said, you know, I got to see this firsthand with the change of direction that the Lord gave me from heading back to France to heading to Belgium for the last few years. You know, for me personally, of how God protected me and kept me safe during the midst of very crazy times of being in COVID and being in a country where you're not a citizen, you're a guest in their country, and just how all that plays into things. But this morning, I also want to share with you some stories of, by having that change, God put people in my life that I'm just so extremely grateful for, that I had the opportunity to walk with them in their faith in the Lord, or different circumstances that I never would have had if I would have went to France. And one of those is with, I was able to be a part of a team to get a book called Tools for Mentoring by Joyce Schroeder. And Joyce Schroeder lives here in Montana, and she's worked with university students for many, many decades, and she wrote this book. And as I was reading through it the year previous, before COVID hit, I was just like, you know what? We need this for our students. But most of our students, they don't know English. And so I was like, let's get this into their heart language, into French. And so there was a team that was developed. And I'm just so excited to say in July, we finally finished the translation. It was a very long book. It's 19 chapters, but it is an invaluable resource for our students. It deals with topics like repentance, living a yielded life, dealing with time management. And this isn't just going to be for our students there in Belgium, but it's for the French-speaking world. And I'm just so excited to hear how this is going to impact different people, because it will help us to disciple our students that are there. But not only that, in SFC, it isn't just about us leaders discipling, but we teach our students how to disciple other students, because they need to be given the tools of how to do it, because they're going to be the leaders next. And we're just extremely excited for this book. It deals with different topics for small groups, so there's just so many resources buried within this book. Another amazing situation I was able to be a part of while there in Belgium is that I was able to be a part of a girl's life for a short period of time who, she told me she had met the Lord when she was a late teen, but her mom is not a believer. Her mom is actually very much against whatever she does, either with the church or with SFC. But yet, sitting and talking with this girl and hearing the stories of persecution she faces at her home, because she still lives with her mom as she's going through medical school, she has such a joy, even in the midst of this constant persecution she faces from a dear loved one, her mom. But yet, she's still on fire for the Lord. And it was just a joy to be a part of her life. And in fact, she's now a leader in SFC Alma. I also had the privilege and opportunity to help disciple yet another girl. As she grows in the Lord, you know, she walks through growing in the Lord. She has a calling to missions. We're not sure what that looks like. It's sometime in the future. Where, all of that, we're not sure. But the Lord has put a calling on her life to do missions work. And she, again, is the only believer in her family. And she also said one day over lunch, she goes, "Not only am I the only believer in my family, but none of my classmates even know the Lord." And she has gone from being a part of my small group to getting to see her lead a small group and to become a leader in another group in SFC there in Brussels. So it's just amazing to see how God can transform lives and how he grows them. And I'll end with this short story of a very, very dear friend of mine I met while in French class. She comes from an Eastern Bloc country, and she grew up in a culture that wants nothing to do with the Lord because her country is communism. In fact, the leader of her country is known as one of Europe's last dictators. And God is just absolutely not a part of their life, so much so we were visiting sometime, I think it must have been around Christmas time, and she was just marveling at how Belgians and even Americans, because I did have my apartment decorated a little bit for Christmas, and she's like, she's just kind of fascinated by it. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, well, don't you celebrate Christmas? You know, stupid me. And she goes, "Adrian, our country doesn't celebrate Christmas." And I was like, why not? Again, dumb. I know there's no dumb question, but I did feel stupid afterwards. But you know, well, why not? She goes, "My country's communism. Christmas is about Christ's birth. Why would we want to celebrate that?" And my heart just dropped of, wow, how sad. How extremely sad. You know, and her and I, we still visit to this day. I look at her as one of my dear friends. And we got to know each other just by spending time together, just allowing her to ask questions about life. She has so many questions. And one time we had a meal together, and she goes, "You know, I don't think people can change." She goes, "I believe they're the same way as when they are born to when they die. People can't change for the good or for the bad." And she goes, "What about you? What do you think?" And I go, "I know of people who have been changed." And why have people been changed? Is because of Christ in their hearts. God is the one that changes us from the inside out. He helps us combat the evil and the sin that want to reign within us. That he changes it to his love and to his compassion. And, you know, after I left that conversation, all I could think about is the hopelessness. I honestly don't know. She puts a smile on her face and everything. She's a very, very sweet girl. But I cannot imagine living life without the hope that we have in Christ. Without, you know, something to hold on to. And God is so much more than something. He changes us. And, you know, I tell you these stories and I don't want you to think I'm anybody special, because God changes people in our lives here in Montana, in Glendive. He puts people in our path for a reason and for a purpose. But we need to be honestly just searching our hearts maybe this week of, are we keeping our hearts and spiritual ears open to the direction of where God is calling us after we feel like there's been a change in plans or disappointment? Are we being careful to not allow bitterness and resentment to enter our hearts towards God? So I'll wrap things up here this morning, I promise. In Acts 16, 6 through 10, we see that Paul was kept from going from certain places there in Asia Minor by the Holy Spirit. But in the midst of that constant change, he kept being told no in. He kept his heart open and sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And by that continuous openness to what the Lord wanted to do, he was given the vision of the man from Macedonia calling and begging for help. And we get to read in the different letters of how that change brought people to Christ in the letter of the Philippians. As I said before, you know, I can vividly relate to this, as there's still evidence of me thinking I was heading to France, but God redirected me to Belgium. And I'm so extremely thankful for the time that I've had there in Belgium. I know I was there when I needed to be. I was there for a reason and a purpose. And we're not sure at this moment if it will be Belgium or France now, because Belgium just denied my last visa request. But God knows. He has a plan in the midst of all this. So have certain doors closed for you recently? Are you keeping your hearts open and sensitive in the midst of the change? Remember, God's plans are the best. God is always there beside you to guide you, but we need to be open to his leading. It says in Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. And we can rest in the promise that we find in Hebrews 13:5b. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is the God that we serve. So let me just end with a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with us as life is constantly giving us change, Lord. But we know that you're in charge and that you will lead us. You will never abandon us, that you are walking beside us. I'm thankful that we serve a God who is like you, that's active in our lives, that isn't distant. Lord, I just begin to pray right now also for the university students in Europe as they have entered classes again. Lord, I just pray that you would be with the students, that you would give them a boldness to share their faith with others, amongst their peers, and also with their professors, Lord. I pray that you would be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Adrian, and we will pray that God will guide your path and you will find his plan during this time as well. And I'll just pray a closing prayer in just a moment, and when I do that, I'm going to make sure the offering plate, one of these will be empty so that you can give in a love offering at this time as well, that we can just send Adrian into the mission field, wherever that may be, whether it's France or Belgium or who knows what God has in store. Amen. So God does change our plans sometimes. I think we can all share those testimonies. I know we've experienced that in our life. And we find out that the God of perfect timing knows exactly what he's doing when those changes happen. So let's be open to the Lord, shall we? Would you stand with me as we close in prayer and just bless the word, bless the mission, and bless God's work. Lord, we're thankful that we can come together and to be inspired and encouraged by a great lesson of missions and how you have been so faithful to touch lives in the universities. We know we have universities all around this state and across our nation that have ministers and missionaries in their campuses as well. And we're thankful that we can send some of our own into places across the seas. We just pray, Lord God, that you will provide, that you will guide Adrian and Sean, and that you will just bless their marriage, bless their mission, and put it all together according to your perfect plan. We just ask a blessing on the offering as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.